Judges aren't necessarily reliable, unless I'm misremembering, and Professor Sterley will correct me. I do believe that Dwight Eisenhower, a Republican, appointed William Brennan to the Supreme Court. So, and that's the most non-Eisenhower move in terms of a judge. Oh, he looks, well, not completely different than what they expected. Not saying it's good, not saying it's bad, just different than what was expected. But here's something that I think we do need to have some expectation on an arbitration clause, and it's who is covered by the clause. And so, Teresa, have you ever run into a situation where you're working for a client, you're trying to figure out arbitration, and you realize that an indispensable party isn't part of this clause?
I laugh because I have three cases right now. One is actually on appeal with the 13th. One is in dispute within a court in Hidalgo. Don't litigate there if you can avoid it. And it's also split in Travis County. It is hard, and it is almost impossible. So make certain that you have the proper signatories to any case. But as an awareness factor, being on top of who is owner today and who needs to be added, I recognize that makes it a significant business cost, but that would have shored up this issue on my cases. It was just, they were legacy contracts, evergreen provisions, everything's going fine. Nothing is an issue until somebody stops paying attention, and then we want to push everybody to arbitration, and then we can't. And the non-signatories under Texas Administrative Code and the Texas Arbitration Act have very powerful remedies. They can stall you indefinitely, and that's sort of my issue right now on the 13th, is the judge says, I don't have to rule, so I'm not going to. And I'm this close to filing a mandamus, but I'm not there yet.
Not there yet.
So yeah, just pay attention and good business hygiene. Who are the parties that I need if something goes wrong today?
Now let's look at that from the flip side. Tammy, MODEC has a corporate entity and it has corporate affiliates. It has some joint venture partners from time to time. Has some wholly owned subsidiaries. How do you look at it from the perspective of, I don't want these other people to get involved in an arbitration? And what sort of tricks would you offer or tips would you offer there?
Well, they don't. I mean, our contracts we enter into primarily with special purpose companies, so they're very narrow. And those parties, they're very specific. So listening to this, trying to get the parties in, it's the signatories. And then there's a lot of control on if the contract is actually novated or assigned. So we have a lot of control in the contract itself. And that obviously ties then to the arbitration clause. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we haven't experienced that problem so far.
Yeah. So, Julia, a drafting question for you. You often see in a release in litigation or even an arbitration settlement that the release encompasses the company, its officers and directors, and then a whole list of other people, and there's usually a word in there called affiliate. Is the word affiliate, in your opinion, a good thing or a bad thing in an arbitration clause in terms of who is subject to it?
You know, in maritime matters in particular, you end up with lots of affiliated companies. And much like the beauty of a limitation action in maritime law, you know, it's not necessarily that you're actually going to get to limit your liability, but that happens very rarely. But the beauty is you get to invite everybody to the party, and the party's going to be in one venue. It's not going to be all over the country in a half a dozen different courts. So I think affiliates and bringing everyone into the arbitration, if the core agreement between the operative parties is we are going to arbitrate, then what you don't want is that to be defeated by stragglers having various and sundry pieces of litigation. So then you're doing dual track arbitration and litigation. Well, whatever benefit you had of arbitration, you've probably thrown out the door because you're dealing with arbitration and litigation. So if you want to arbitrate, I think you want to bring the entire dispute to one place and resolve the whole thing in one place as opposed to piecemealing it. So I would be in favor of affiliates in most instances.
Julia, let me stick with you, because now we're going to turn to the what. And really here, there's three things I really want to talk about. What the arbitration clause covers, first off, in terms of what disputes are encompassed by it, because right. You can limit the types of disputes. So from a litigator's perspective, have you ever encountered a situation where you have a great claim, but it's not allowed by the clause? And then what do you do with that?
Typically, I'm looking at if you're dealing with, you know, a piece of it is arbitrable, the rest of it gets stuck in litigation. That doesn't always help you resolve what you need to do. But in maritime law, you do have special remedies. You know, you want to be able to seize a vessel. Do you need a TRO? Do you want a federal court to set the security? Do you want to be able to sell the cargo? We ended up with 100,000 barrels of gasoline that we seized.